On Wednesday's front page, Iran is threatening to block shipments of oil through the Strait of Hormuz. This comes in retaliation for U.S. sanctions that could cut into Iran's oil revenue. We'll look at the high cost of artificial hips that are failing, and Northeastern University is going southeastern. Before long, it could be going western and midwestern as well. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Iran is threatening to retaliate for U.S. sanctions. First Vice President Mohammad Reza Rahimi says Iran would respond to a crackdown by blocking oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz. That's a vital passageway for transporting about a fifth of the world's oil supply. The Obama administration has been laying the groundwork for cutting Iran off from the world's energy markets without raising the price of gasoline. Washington wants to stop Iran from going ahead with its nuclear weapons program. Also on Tuesday's front page, the most widespread medical implant failure in years has entered the money phase. This involves all metal artificial hips that need to be replaced prematurely. The metal parts are grinding against each other, and that's throwing off debris that's damaging fragile tissue in patients. Experts say the hip replacements will contribute to the soaring cost of medical care in the next few years. The financial fallout is expected to be sizable because a whole class of products is involved, not just a single device or one company. Times reporter Jeffrey Gettleman says war-torn Somalia is facing another terror. There's been an alarming increase in rapes and sexual abuse. Shabab militants are treating women and girls as spoils of war. They're also forcing families to hand over girls for arranged marriages that amount to sexual slavery. But it's not just the Shabab. Aid workers say women displaced by famine end up in refugee camps where they're preyed upon by armed marauders. Boston-based Northeastern University has opened a satellite campus in the southeast. That new outpost in Charlotte, North Carolina, will be followed by one in Seattle, and Northeastern is talking about branching out to Texas and Silicon Valley. Northeastern is one of a handful of brick-and-mortar institutions that are looking to broaden their reach to new markets. The goal is to offer master's degrees in industries like cybersecurity and project management. Northeastern is matching the programs with each city's strengths. Mitt Romney's bid for president this year is a do-over. It's an attempt to retool a campaign that fizzled 4 years ago. Romney has overhauled his stump speech, but Wednesday's Times says the reinvented Romney is not all that different from the original. He's still a cautious chief executive who's uneasy with off-the-cuff remarks. He still strains when he has to connect in a personal way. Also on the front page, another installment in the Times' series on homes for the developmentally disabled in New York State. The Federation of Multicultural Programs in Brooklyn has amassed more citations than any other nonprofit provider. It also filed for bankruptcy protection twice in the 1990s, and later, two top officials were accused of embezzling more than $2 million. But it's still getting about $20 million a year in Medicaid money. Inside Wednesday's Times, Iraq after the war. Some 2 million Iraqis fled the country during the fighting. Those who remained are more than a postscript to an unpopular conflict, as we hear in this report from Times correspondent Tim Arango.
I've been in Iraq for about a year and a half, and the country today seems someplace between war and peace. It looks like a war zone still. There are blast walls everywhere, there are checkpoints, there are razor wire. But you go out on the streets and people are living their lives. Markets are full. People are jet skiing on the Tigris on Friday afternoons. So their lives are moving on, but it's still very much a place of insecurity and attacks that happen daily. The big unanswered question now, of course, is which direction the country goes in after the American military leaves. Of course, the Americans are not leaving. They're going to have a vastly expanded diplomatic mission. In fact, it's their biggest since the Marshall Plan. Thousands of contractors are flooding into the country right now, and there's always the chance that military trainers could return. Domestically, the country is now in the hands of Prime Minister Maliki. The question about him used to be, could he stay in power? Now the question is, does he have too much power? And there's real worry that the country could slip back into one-man, one-party rule to which it has historically been accustomed.
Times correspondent Tim Orango in Baghdad. In Russia, the architect of Vladimir Putin's system of politics was reassigned. Vladislav Surkov was known in Moscow as the Grey Cardinal. He's overseen Russia's domestic political scene for more than a decade. Lyrically abstract painter Helen Frankenthaler died. Her way of staining pigment into raw canvas helped shape second-generation abstract expressionism. She was married to painter Robert Motherwell from the first generation, but she refined Jackson Pollock's famous technique into what critic Clement Greenberg called post-painterly abstraction. Helen Frankenthaler was 83. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.